This is a Rain rerun from December 2003.
We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Just a reminder that these Rain Reports are authorized for transmission on amateur radio repeaters and FM simplex stations so long as the entire program is used, including the copyright disclaimer found at the end of each Rain Report. Now, this week's program. Amateur Radio Newsline, formerly Westlink Radio Network, released its 1,373rd consecutive newscast, December 5, 2003. In November 1994, the Rain Report marked Newsline's 900th newscast by producing a two-part program that featured two of the major forces behind Newsline, Jim Hendershot and Alan Call. This week, we rerun part one of that interview in which Newsline's longtime editor and executive producer, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, reminisces about the early days of Westlink Radio with its creator, Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, a resident of Sylmar, California, when he cooked up the idea in 1977.
We had a lot of associates and repeaters and stuff that we used to trade phone patch QSOs back and forth with, things like that. When deregulation hit, we thought it would be real interesting for all of those people that we had worked with to get some details on it. And so we did the first broadcast primarily on repeater deregulation. Everybody that heard it said, oh, good, when's the next one? Gee, we didn't plan on doing this permanently, and they all said, well, you ought to. So it just sort of fell into it. And on week two, we had the second one, and we just kept going.
It was kind of ironic, though, as I remember, the very first Westlink Radio Network bulletin actually was not on the repeater. It was on simplex.
Well, that's true, because we felt the best way to distribute it was on simplex. We started it out on 223.5, and in reality, the major distribution for it for, gosh, at least the first year or so, was on 223.5 and a growing number of cassettes.
Was it not the cassettes and the open reel tapes and the mail-outs that actually gave it the national exposure?
There was no doubt. The cassettes were our biggest outlet in the beginning. Over time, we finally went to an automated tape recorder system. After I left, it went, of course, to the cartridge system and stuff. But it got to the point with me where I was doing something like 100 cassettes a week or some crazy thing like that. And it was just overwhelming, and that's when things had to change.
And, of course, that's about the time that you decided to get married, and that also changed a lot of things.
When I put the first automated tape system that I had up, which was an old TAC reel-to-reel that actually ran in two directions and therefore was able to recycle itself, I was already engaged to be married at that point. After I got married, the responsibility of a family just was too much. I married a very nice lady with some... an already made family. So I had four kids when I got married, and it was a real real challenge. And so Westlink just had to get moved off to somebody else who had more time and less responsibilities.
Looking back 17 years ago, you started something, and it's remained, and it's grown. How does it make you feel?
Well, I guess it confirms that it was a good idea. I still run into people who recognize my voice. I mean, a few people recognize my name. A lot of them recognize my voice from way, way back. And it's always gratifying to know that there's still so much interest. And when I see how big it's become, it's obvious that it was a good thing to start. And I'm glad that it has done so well and that it's received so much acceptance.
If you could go back to the first newscast or the first day, would you change anything, or would you just left it alone to evolve the way it did?
That's hard to say. You know, there's always things that you think you could have done better. I really don't think there'd been that much I would have changed with it, really.
As I remember, you started this whole thing with an ancient Ampex open reel tape recorder. Where was the first one? Was recorded at someone's house, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first broadcast was recorded at Wayne Rankin's place, WA6MPG. I think it was in Sunland, Tahung area. You and I went over there and recorded that first one with Wayne sitting there doing the actual recording. And subsequent ones were done on a lot of my old equipment. Like you say, an old Ampex and later on a TAC. And It was really interesting there for a while.
As I remember also, the first 2-3 months before you got down to paring down the time, some of those ran fairly long, 30-40 minutes, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I think the first one was close to half an hour, and matter of fact, I think it was a half an hour. And some of them would go really, really long. Nobody seemed to mind too much, but after a while, the demands of production for something that long just became outrageous, and we had to do something to pare it down. And as we pared it down, we started getting positive feedback that it was a good idea, that it wasn't too long.
You're in the middle of some reminiscing about the early days of amateur radio Newsline, formerly Westlink Radio Network, with its longtime editor and executive producer, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, and creator Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
I'm going to throw a name at you, and a name that indirectly, I guess, made the Westlink Radio Network, and then, of course, became Newsline, kind of famous and kind of, I guess, gave it credibility. The name I'll throw at you is Richard B. Cooper, Rick Cooper.
Oh, yeah, I remember Rick Cooper and his communications attorney service, a good-for-a-laugh story. That guy never could seem to tell the truth, and there were so many scams that were going on with that whole thing that it was just incredible. You know, every week there seemed like for a while there was something new about Richard Cooper and the communications attorney service and all of the nonsense that was going on there. It was really an incredible story.
In its unbelievability, the fact that you were able to weed through what was basically a lot of garbage being spewed out in every direction and continually expose it, that in itself had an awful lot to do with people out there who were worried that, you know, maybe this guy was going to be able to take over the ham bands and give them to the CBers, and all of a sudden they had a champion, and you were the champion.
Well, I never really thought of myself as a champion. I just sort of thought of myself as somebody who had discovered somebody else who was trying to mislead everybody, and I felt it was important that everybody knew the truth. I suppose in that respect, you could call me a champion, but I just felt that it was important to tell the truth. I still think that's important, and unfortunately, in a lot of journalism today, that's not so important. You know, the big story is more important. But I felt for Westlink anyway, for amateur radio, just telling the truth and getting the information out there was what was important.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and maybe you can't answer this. If you can't, I'll understand. But other than the communications attorney service, during your tenure, your 2 years of doing the news yourself, anything else, other story that really comes to you to mind?
There were so many different stories. I mean, we had fun with, you know, in the early days, we had fun jabbing little jokes at the ARRL. We had fun poking fun at different groups here and there, and, you know, always trying to catch them off guard and maybe embarrass them a little bit. But really, I think that those stories in those days, there were just so many of them that were each important in their moment. But not, when you look back at it, none of them were really so stupendous that they really require taking a second look at. I think that the Cooper thing was just really interesting because it was so convoluted and it went on for so long. But really, there were a lot of interesting things in those days, and not the least of which was, you know, actions by the commission, because they were you know, in the idea of moving forward with deregulation and that sort of thing. When I look back at it, we saw the tip of the iceberg of this deregulation thing, which has really changed the face of amateur radio since that time.
What's Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, been doing since, so I guess, early 1980? What's been happening with you?
By the time I was doing Westlink, I was out of the broadcast business. And I went into the two-way radio business for a while, and now I'm doing consulting engineering. I design radio equipment, actually. I even have an amateur radio project on the books. I've dabbled a little bit back in broadcast for National Public Radio a little bit, you know, on a local basis for public radio, I should say, and had fun with that, but really just been doing radio designing and consulting and that sort of thing, and like my wife says, I get to play all day and they pay me for it. Not fair.
And you also got away from the smog.
Well, that's true. I was very fortunate. We moved up here to Southern Oregon. It's beautiful up here, the river and the mountains, trees, and, you know, all the usual things you hear about Oregon, except for the rain. The place where we live in doesn't rain that much, although we've had some this week. But really, it's a very nice balance, and I enjoy it very much. The community up here is really nice. The hams are great up here. really enjoy the area, and glad we made the move.
Let's just give you one final retrospective question. You've of course listened, I assume, maybe not regularly, but at least at times to Newsline or Westlink Radio as it evolved into Newsline. What do you think of that evolution and where it's going and where it's headed?
It's certainly a heck of a lot more professional than we were when we started. A lot of that has to do with the fact that as time has gone by, the people involved have gained experience. New, more experienced people have been brought in, and of course the equipment upgrades have helped a lot. But, you know, really, when I look back at it, I mean, I wasn't really a sterling broadcaster or anything else. I just had something that I felt needed to be done, and I sort of, you know, was in the right place at the right time, or is it the wrong place at the wrong time? I'm not sure which.
I was with you the day that this started, sitting over a bowl of ice cream and a now non-existent Howard Johnson's in Van Nuys, and I was basically with you since the beginning and took it over and have done 900, figuring the stuff you did is 900 uninterrupted weeks of news. Now, does that make me a sadist, a masochist, or both?
Well, I don't know if that makes you a glutton for punishment or what. I personally think you're probably a little unbalanced to stick with it for so long. But then nobody ever denied that.
Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, longtime executive producer and editor of the Amateur Radio Newsline, reminiscing about Newsline's early days as the Westlink Radio Network with its creator Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP. Next week, we'll hear from another major force in Newsline's early days, Alan Call, W6RCL, veteran producer for NBC News. The Rain Report is copyright 2003, Rain, all rights reserved. The Rain Report is a weekly production of the Radio Amateur Information Network, available from www.therainreport.com. Now, for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, saying 73 on behalf of all of us at The Rain Report.